Thank you, Jesus. Lord, it's wonderful to worship you together, to lift up the name that we love, the name that has saved us, that through faith in your name, we are saved. And today, Lord, as we gather around you, I thank you, Lord, in every home, in every living room, in every kitchen. Thank you, Lord, wherever your people are all over, listening to you and worshiping you and hearing your voice. I thank you, Lord, that you are with us. Your presence is with us always. And Father, we thank you today that you're our good shepherd, that Jesus, you came to lead your sheep out of darkness and into life, to lead them out of sin and into righteousness, and to bring us, Lord, through hearing your voice, through hearing your very voice, good shepherd, to follow you all the days of our lives. And today, Lord, let the spirit of wisdom and revelation be upon us, and let our hearts be enlightened to see you, to know the hope of our calling, the power that is within us, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, and also to know this rich inheritance that is ours in Christ. Bless your people. I just speak and pray a special blessing upon children. Every child, let's pray, church. Let's pray for every child. Father, in this time, with all the changes that are going on in children's lives and in homes, Lord, just settle our children. Establish them in your peace. Let your peace reign over their hearts and minds. Let night and day be full of peace. And let our children come to know you in this time. Let that be the greatest goal that we have in our prayers, Lord, that our children will know you and grow up to actually hear you and experience you personally. Bless them, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen, all God's people said. Well, wasn't it wonderful to have a time of praise and worship? And I'm just so grateful that we can do that. Grateful to Ashley and Doris to help us, Lordy, to help us to worship the Lord together. And, of course, to Sani, who makes it possible. This morning, I want to speak about a favourite story in the Bible, and I'm confident that you will know this story very well. And if you have your Bible, turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And we're going to look at this national victory. And this is kind of like really what God's put on our hearts, put on my heart, that we will come to the Lord in the way that he wants us to come, and we will see a national victory that will also bring personal change and transformation. And I'd like to call this message, if you've got a title in your mind, I think it would help you, The Roadmap to Breakthrough. The Roadmap to Breakthrough. Now, the other Sunday, I think it was last Sunday, San had accessed this footpathmaps.co.uk, which shows footpaths around where you live that I never knew existed. And we went for a lovely walk. You remember the sun was shining last Sunday, and we had this amazing long walk around the countryside near my house, and I was surprised that it was there, but it was a well-trodden path. And it got me thinking how Jesus is the way. And in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, God speaks to his people and he says, you're standing at a crossroads, but ask me, ask for the ancient path and the good way, and walk in it. And it got me thinking, you know, I was walking along this path that many other people had trodden on over the years, probably. And I thought of these ancient paths. And, you know, we don't need a new path for a national breakthrough or a personal breakthrough. The old path, the eternal path, or the Word of God, is the path we need. Jesus is the way. He is the Word of God. And he has laid down a path through his word. And he speaks as a good shepherd to say, this is the way, or the roadmap, or the footpath to a breakthrough. Now, I'm someone who believes that God is real and wants to get involved and change everything. Because Jesus himself taught us to pray as it is in heaven. Now, we know that off by heart. But, guys, we need to believe this. He wants life as it is in heaven, on earth, in our reality. And, you know, whether in little problems and issues in the family home or in your bank account or at work, massive problems for some people in their working lives and in their relationships and in their health and the challenges in our nation. God himself has said, I've laid down a path. And this story about Jehoshaphat and the nation, God's people, is actually a roadmap that is a path to victory. And this path leads us to an incredible breakthrough. And so we're going to kind of journey with these guys from 2 Chronicles 20 and read a little bit. You can read the whole thing later because there's lots of it. But in verse 1 it says, it happened after this that the people of Moab and the people of Ammon and others with them beside the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. And that actually meant not just one person, it meant the whole nation. And we are in a battle. We're in a battle that affects the nation, it affects the economy, it affects living the life of every single person in this nation and in the world. And I have a question for us as believers, and it's for myself too. And that question comes directly out of the Word of God. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Well, you and I would know that we should say, no, of course not. When we really think about who God is, nothing is too hard for the Lord. And I think in these days of such immense challenge, we need to have this question, which helps us to answer in the right way to every challenge we might be facing, personally or nationally. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Whatever you're facing, ask that question and answer it with, no, nothing is too hard for Jesus. Because these enemies were uniting. And I see, as you do, the virus in the world and in this nation is causing destruction. But it's not just health, which is the primary goal, is to see people come out of this and healthy. But it's also the economy. There are other enemies behind this one, and knock-on effect, really. And so these enemies are coming against God's people. Now, in verse 3, it says, and Jehoshaphat feared. So in other words, he had a moment where he was scared. But he didn't leave it there. He didn't just stay afraid. He set himself, in verse 3, it says, he set himself to seek the Lord. And he himself said, right, I'm going to seek God. You know, the ancient path, the ancient way, the breakthrough. No one ever had a breakthrough in the Bible that didn't begin first with seeking God for help. It always starts with asking God, coming to God and saying, God, you're our God. We need help. And not only did Jehoshaphat say, I'm going to seek the Lord, he called, as a leader of God's people, he called all God's people to gather together to seek God. And it says, to ask help from the Lord. And from the people gathered to ask help, and from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Now, we're in a time of lockdown, and that's the one thing I miss most, is not seeing you. I really miss our corporate times of worship, and I miss your faces. I just miss talking to you. And I thank God for all that we can do online, but there's nothing like being together, is there? And that's also another knock-on effect of what I consider to be a satanic attack. Because Jesus said Satan comes to steal, kill and destroy. But I've come to give life, and life in all its fullness. And so how do we gather How do we gather together? Well, they came together to pray. And I think, you know, if we see this as a gathering around the throne of grace, I think we're seeing it biblically. That even if we can't come together, we can gather together in the one place that Jesus said we could come boldly before that throne of grace and find grace to help. Aren't you glad that Jesus has made a way? That this is the ancient path that many throughout history, in every world war that we had, people sought the Lord for a miracle. In every personal crisis, in every situation, small or big, personal or national, if we come together before the throne of grace, united like the early church in the book of Acts, they united and gathered together for corporate prayer. And beloved, I believe in praying together. I believe in praying on our own before the throne of grace, but I believe in the same place at the same time, there they stood in their families. And it would have been quite an event, because they brought their babies, they brought their wives, their children, everybody there, the singles, the elderly, everybody, the whole family united. And you know, I have loved this Captain Tom, I think his name is, this 99-year-old who's raised so much and did his bit to raise millions to help the NHS. But the people of God have a resource that the world don't have, and we can use what we have with God to resource the nation. You see, Jesus calls us to intercede, to pray for others on behalf of the nation. We're to pray and gather together for all, not just for ourselves. And these guys, these families, it must have been quite an event to watch. And Jehoshaphat stood up and prayed, but they had gathered and they had all joined in. And I believe in praying children, praying families, but that we all can gather around the throne of grace. So in this lockdown, we can pray together and we can see united, powerful, supernatural change in our nation. Then Jehoshaphat stood up and prayed, and he started with this shift of focus. He took his eyes off the enemy, and always in prayer, if we have our eyes on the problem, we actually won't have the perspective or the faith to help us to pray and ask God to do the God kind of miracles we need. And so he shifted the focus and said, "Oh Lord God, our God, the Lord of heaven, who rules over all the kingdoms and all the nations, in your hand is there not power and might, so no one has been able to withstand you." And he began to pray. And I call this a shift for a lift. The shift of focus brought an elevation in mind and heart. Doesn't Colossians tell us, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things? When Jesus taught us to pray, he said, start with "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." And so this shift brought the lift. I was reading one of the fastest lifts in the world is in Shanghai, and it goes so fast that I'm sure you'd lose your stomach in the up. But I believe that we can lose the problems, leave them behind, and shift our focus and our prayer and begin to declare the greatness of God in the midst of the battle and say, "Lord, I shift for a lift," and come up to the high mindset, the thoughts of God that are higher than ours. And then Jehoshaphat prayed, and remember, they were all agreeing together, one heart, one mind. This is where the power of the early churches, and this is where the unifying prayers of the saints bring tremendous power. And he was saturating his prayer with a promise. And I just want to pick out from verse 8 in chapter 20, they dwell in this land, and you've built a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, so that's the temple, that's the place where they met together with God. If disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. Now there's the precedent that he had outlined, God had given in his word. This is the ancient path. The way we pray is to be saturated with the promise of God. You said, in trouble, pestilence is actually like coronavirus. It's a plague. God is bigger than a plague. God is bigger than famine. He's bigger than an economic decline and depression. God is more powerful than all enemies of people. He has defeated every enemy through the cross, and Jesus himself has the name above every name. And so they prayed in that name, in his presence, and they prayed a promise-filled prayer. They had shifted for a lift. They prayed a promise. And you know, what was in this promise is, you will hear and save. Oh, beloved, God hears the prayers that are prayed according to his will. This is a prayer to pray that is his will, that God will hear us and save us as a nation from pestilence and famine. I'm just pulling out those two things, but it could be a personal seeking God and asking him to save. This word save or salvation, it encompasses every human need, every material need, every demonic freedom breakthrough need. God is a God of breakthrough, and he will break out against our enemies if we ask him to come and save us according to his word. And this is his will, to save this nation and the nations of the world. Eternally, yes, of course, that is the primary need of every single human being, that they be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. That is the greatest need, because you can be saved in this life, but spend eternity in a very dark and tormented place without Jesus. And so that is the pressing need of every generation. But in our time, we have a need to seek God corporately and ask him together to save us from our enemies. Numerous though they may be, God is a God who is far more powerful, and nothing is too difficult for him. Well, I can imagine after they'd prayed that, they kind of silence, they stood there before the Lord, and then God brought his word, what we call a prophetic word, a spirit-given word. And I love this word, and I believe that all that I'm speaking today is a spirit-given word, because this is what God has given me to say. And in verse 17, God says to his people, you will not need to fight this battle. Why? Because they'd sought him. They'd come on the ancient path. They'd asked God according to his promise. And now God was saying, I'm going to answer that. I'm going to answer anything. This is the confidence you have. If you ask anything according to his will, we know he hears us, and we know that we will have what we ask for. So God says, I'm on it. You won't need to fight it. I'll come and do something. I'll be the God of the breakthrough against your enemies. I will do something that no science can do, no human resource can do. I'll do something, a work in your day, you wouldn't believe it even if you saw it. And so the people were hearing God speak through someone saying, you don't need to fight, just position yourself, stand still and see the salvation. They'd ask for salvation, God save us. You'll see it. You'll see the salvation of the Lord. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. I'm with you. Go out tomorrow. Now, so they're standing there, all the people, before God. And as soon as they hear this word, this promise really, to answer what they've asked for. They all fell down. It says, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all of Judah, the whole nation, went bowed before the Lord. What a response. The humility and the worship of the only one who could save. There is only one who can save us. But we know him, and he's a God who hears prayer. And by awesome deeds in righteousness, he will answer us. He will answer. And so before they saw any change, they worshipped because they believed that he would do it. And then, after worship, it was unusual. We usually start with praise and then get into worship. But they started with worship and then they went into praise. The Levites, the priests, stood up, and it says they praised the God of Israel with voices loud and high. I think it was more like an American Super Bowl victory than a Wimbledon tennis match. I think if you could have heard, been anywhere near the vicinity of that day, the praise would have sounded like they'd won the biggest competition or won the biggest victory. And so this loud and high praise. Now, I love a people of faith. You know what? People of faith, faith pleases God, and faith brings God into your breakthrough and releases God into the breakthrough. You will see God work when you praise him. These people of faith, they didn't need a sign. They didn't need a hand on their head. They didn't need to see an angel. They just heard a word. God will do it. Trust him for it. And they praised him loud and high. There is something about praise in this season that we need to maintain a spirit of praise, because praise keeps us adjusted to how great our God is and keeps our faith continuing to be strong. When we praise him, it strengthens our faith. Loud and high, guys. Not quiet and low. Loud and high. They praised him with all of their might. And the next day, they got up early, highly expectant for a miracle. And Jehoshaphat reminded them, and I love these words, listen. Listen, church. God said he'd save us. He'd save us when we were in trouble. God's promised this. God's promised that if we pray for others, he will save them. And Jehoshaphat said, believe the Lord your God and you shall be established. Believe his prophets. Believe what he is saying. His spirit-given word. And you will prosper. You see, the ancient paths are already laid. Here we have a people who are in trouble and they begin to seek God. And that's the beginning of a breakthrough. Then they pray according to the promise. And that's also part of the breakthrough, because it's bringing God's will. You're bringing it before God, and then he's sending down the answer. And then they hear the confirmation. They act in faith. You won't have to fight for this. God's on it. When we pray, God gets on it. When we worry, we get on it. And I know that we can't do it. I know the scientists can't, but God is a God of breakthrough. And even if the breakthrough comes, it can come through God giving science the answer. I believe in science. I believe in education. But I believe in God giving solutions in a time where there are no solutions. And so we're trusting in God for everything, for the breakthrough and salvation to come. And then they praised him. They praised him and believed in him. And then, you know, the end of the story is just wonderful. They went out and they sent the army out, believing that God would fight for them, believing they would be saved. And the leader said, right, let's put the praise on the front. Let's put praise in the front. Ah, how about that, guys? If you're in a challenge personally, let's put praise at the front. Let's lift up the name of Jesus. Let's walk in our bedrooms, our kitchens, wherever we are. If you're in a battle, you're in a difficulty, you're in needing a breakthrough, let's praise him. Let's pray, seek God, and praise him. And they went out before the Lord, praising him for his greatness and praising him for his kindness, his mercy, his love, and his covenant and promises towards him. And you know what happened? It says, my favorite verse, because this is the God of the breakthrough bit. I love the breakthrough when it happens. God set ambushes against the enemy. And they actually began to fight themselves. And I've prayed, you know, that this virus will begin to fight itself. I don't know if that's medically possible, but I've prayed that it will begin to attack itself, that the enemy will actually be so confused that it'll begin to do himself damage. And the solutions, if it is to be a scientific solution, I've prayed that God would give it easy and cheap. Because I believe that God wants to provide for all the people in the world, not just for those who have the money, but for those who don't. And so all the solutions, whatever, the God of the breakthrough, Lord, bring about such a victory through this simple prayer, hear us and save us. And so they're praising him in faith. And as they praised him, the God of the breakthrough came and won the greatest victory over the enemy. And this story finishes with something called, is translated, the Valley of Blessing. They took all the spoils of the enemy. They plundered the enemy. The enemy was completely annihilated. They didn't have to fight one bit. God did it all, because our weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty in God. God has given us the power to pray and see the salvation of our nation. And they ended up in a valley of blessing. I don't know. All the prophets of doom speak about valley of doom. But God brings his people into a valley of blessing. Ah, to know the Lord and to know the God of the breakthrough. And I believe this ancient path that is set down time and time again in the Word of God is the path God wants you and I to tread on. He wants us to walk on the path of his word, his ways. You know, when anyone seeks the Lord, they find him. And when we begin to ask him for help according to his will, because it's laid down in his promises, God promises to hear and to save. They didn't deserve it, which is why the throne is called a throne of grace. We don't deserve it. Many people are speaking judgment over our nation. Many prophets, and be careful who you listen to, people. Be careful, because we're in a time of grace. And the throne we come before is a throne of grace. We couldn't earn any of it anyway. Jesus himself has freely given us everything that he died to give us. And so we don't deserve it, we don't earn it, but God gives it freely. And when we stand before him, that throne of grace, we can find grace to help others in their time of need. And so this is a time, an age of grace. Judgment will come, the end will come, and all will be judged, which is why, if you're listening to this message today and you don't have Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord, I plead with you to be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. He died for your sin. He rose again. And anyone who believes in him, believe in your heart and confess him your Lord and Savior, you will be saved. Judgment will come, but we're now in an age of grace. And I want to pray for you. I want to pray for every single person that we will come on this ancient path. We'll walk in it. This isn't a quick fix message. It's walking in it. It's something that we do, like that footpath. I had to go on it to get to the destination. And so God is calling us as a people, individually and corporately, to gather together and pray. And so this is something we set our hearts to do. And to do that corporately for the next 3 Tuesdays, we are going to gather together at 7:30 online and have a live prayer meeting. And we'll get the news to you about that tomorrow. But before then, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you right where you're at. If you have enemies coming against you personally, your children, some of you are on furlough, others of you maybe have lost your job, others of you may have relational stress and trauma emotionally, I want to pray. And we want to pray together now. I don't know if you could just stand where you are. I can't because I'm on screen, but if you just stand and let's lift our hands to the Lord and let's ask him that he will come and be the God of the breakthrough for us personally and as a nation. Lord, I come to you and we come to you, and I come to you on behalf of everybody who's standing in their room praying. And I ask, Father, right now that you will show yourself to be the God for whom nothing is impossible. The question that you ask all of us in this time, Lord, is anything too hard for you? And we say, come on, church, let's say it. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. No enemy, no battle, nationally or individually. Lord, we trust you that nothing is too hard for you. And you said in a time of affliction, whether it's personal and it's definitely national, you would give us salvation. You would save us from our troubles. And Lord, I thank you right now that you will save and be the breakthrough God that you are for every individual who needs a breakthrough. Thank you, you're the God who brings change in our own lives and hearts. You bring change in relationships. You bring change, Lord, and you provide for your people. When there isn't provision, I thank you for provision. I thank you for work. I thank you, Lord, for new opportunities, new ideas. That you're the God who gives initiatives, new initiatives that mean that we can make a way that seems so successful where other people can't understand it. Father, do miracles, I pray, personally for your people. Bless your people right now. We come before that throne of grace and expect grace to help right here, right now, in this time of need. Meet the needs of your people, Father, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you for the ancient path, the path that many have trod over the generations. And Lord, it's our turn to walk in it. This is our time. This is our time for the national effort. And I pray that we would gather together around your throne at these pre-appointed times, these Tuesday evenings, and we would tune in, Lord, and gather together around your throne and do our bit, add our weight, add our faith and prayer to the national effort of all the saints praying, but we do our bit so that there'd be a tipping point where we will see a God move breaking out against our enemies. Lord, this virus has never defeated you and never will. It'll never defeat your people and never will. But Lord, we're in for a breakthrough for our nation. And so, Father, we exalt the name of Jesus today, and we thank you for this ancient path. And I, for one, choose to walk in it. And I pray every family, every household would just come on that way to seek you, to ask for help, to have promise-soaked prayers that will bring the God of the breakthrough against our enemies. Do it, Lord. Glorify your name. Glorify your name in this time, Jesus. All God's people said, Amen. Amen. The God of the breakthrough. Let's go on that path because it's going to lead to such a breakout of God's power and grace.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaith.com. kingdomfaithsw.com.